It is a good morning, isn't it? This morning I got a phone call, actually came into Jill, and I was dressed and ready for church, and John Grogan was on the other end saying, "We got a little problem up here." So I changed pants, which is what you do when you got a problem, right? The first thing you do is change pants. That's what I do. I don't care what kind of problem it is, it's always going to require a new pair of pants. So we got up here, and you know what? As we were coming, as I was heading out the door, we were telling Quinn what had gone on. He said, "Is it going to be okay?" Yes, it's going to be okay. It honestly reminds me of my home in West Texas, where everything, even when it's dry, is covered by a layer of dirt. And so it's kind of like coming home in a new way out in our sanctuary, in our hallways. I will say, I appreciate those who've helped to clean up, those who are still helping to clean up. And if you have not helped clean up yet, don't worry. You're probably going to get an opportunity. If you have not been to the other end of the building and you have no idea what I'm talking about, somewhere between last night and this morning, pretty much all of that side of the building flooded. And so it wasn't very deep, but it was very wide. So it was only half of the song. And so there is dirt left everywhere down there, and we will keep you apprised of what we need to do to help with the church. But it was good to be able to say to Quinn, you know, it doesn't really matter, because it will be okay. It'll be okay. And that's really one of the things that Paul is saying throughout the letter of Ephesians, is that not only will it be okay, it will be better than okay. That God is doing something quite miraculous and quite spectacular. The letter to Ephesians in the oldest manuscripts, and I'll give you, in case you don't remember from when you went to seminary or in your studies, here is how we decide what is the best translation of something. What is the oldest, what is the shortest, and what is the most difficult to understand? Literally, if it is the oldest, shortest, and hardest to understand, it's probably the original writing or closest to it. Well, get this. The original two, at least, of the original pieces of writing around this letter don't even include the words Ephesus. Why is that? Well, this letter was written not only to Ephesus, which was a center of the Roman region of Asia. It was the capital of that area, and it was an area in which Paul had made his home for a number of years while he was doing ministry. It was this central location because it had a bay. It was a central location because it was a place where commerce was done. It was a major city. And so when Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he is also writing to all of the surrounding community in which people would have come into contact through Ephesus. So that the earliest manuscripts say to the, it's blank, because what they suspect is that Paul would have written this letter to several different areas, and so it was kind of like form fill on first century Microsoft Word. You just left that part blank, and somebody just wrote the name of the town you were writing to in there. By the time we get this letter, it is ascribed to Ephesus, because that is this central location. It's written and often combined in terms of timeline with the letter to Colossians and the letter of Philemon in Paul's writing. And of course, there are those who even debate whether or not Paul wrote this. For the sake of argument, when I say Paul, I just mean the author of this letter. Because in ancient times, it would have been common for people who were in one's group. So if I was Paul and I had a friend named Ireland, and Ireland and I hung out, and she learned from me whatever she learned from me, and she wanted to write a letter, she would write it in my name if she wanted it to be read like I had written it. And so when we say this letter is ascribed to Paul, it very well could have been written by Paul, written towards the end of his Roman imprisonment with the same of these other letters, or it could have been written by one who was close to him. What we do know is that it is an evolution of Paul's thinking about what God is doing in Jesus. And it is a letter that we still need to hear because it is a letter about being together in community. One of Paul's primary concerns in this letter is that we understand in the cosmic work of what Christ is doing, what is our role? What is our place? That sounds very heady. Paul wants to say, look, God is doing something amazing in Jesus, and this is where we fit in. He writes to this group of people just as he would say to us, here is what is going on. And it's interesting because often when you start something, you say, hey, this is how great you guys are. But what Paul says here is, hey, I'm writing to the saints and the faithful in Ephesus, but let's talk about what God is doing. And so he begins to talk about how God in Christ is giving us every spiritual blessing and every good thing, and everything is coming together in God in Christ. In fact, it's quite flowery language for a lot of what Paul writes. It's quite verbose and quite convoluted in some ways, all of this dialogue about what God is doing. What is it that God is doing? Paul will make the argument that in Jesus, God is calling all things back to himself. All things on heaven and on earth. Do we live in a way that reflects that? Or do we believe that God is calling some things back to himself in Jesus? Right? Some things, sure. I know God is calling Lamar. I got that. He's my number one amener. Tied with Gary. But other things? Could God really be calling all things back to God's self through Jesus? Could God really be trying to pull everything back together? And how does that help us at all? How does that help us to be participants in God's kingdom if God not only is pulling us, but is calling everyone? One of the interesting things that Paul writes here is he refers in this letter to the ordering the fullness of time, which is the word used there is the word that we get the word economy from. It is this structuring of things to be brought together in a way that makes sense. And so if God is working in the fullness of time to bring everything together and bless us and give us inheritance, what do we do? I think one of the things that we are being called to do, one of the ways that we are being called to participate in this grand vision of God calling all things together, is to actually be present to all things. What if we could get to the place where even in the eyes of our neighbor, we could see God doing work? What if we could get to the place where even in the eyes of the people who irritate us, who we think, God can't show up there, what if even in the eyes of those people, we could get to the place where we said, God is working there? What if we could get to the place where we began to be so certain that the mystery of God working in Christ was large enough that all things were being called, that we stopped drawing lines about where we were being called to work? What if we realized that we were being called to minister to our enemies? What if we realized that we were being called to love those not like us? I read in the paper yesterday morning, maybe Friday evening, that a man who lives in Helena, who is a Muslim, had his car defaced over the weekend. Graphic images spray painted on his car, and told that he should go home. Statistically, the perpetrators of that crime have about a 55 to 60% chance of being in church this morning somewhere. Somewhere, we are missing the point. The way to love our neighbors is not to drive them off. The way to love our neighbors is to show them that we actually believe that God is capable of being powerful enough and big enough to create unity out of a room full of individuals. I don't mean uniformity, okay? We will always be different from one another. But I mean that maybe, just maybe, God is big enough to draw a circle around all of our differences in which all of us belong. And it is not our job to draw lines in the middle of it. It's one of the key things that Paul is getting at, particularly towards the end of this reading that we read today in Ephesians. He begins to allude to the thing that continually blows Paul's own mind, is that he lives in a world that constantly wants to draw a line between the Jews and the Gentiles. We don't live in a world that wants to draw a line between people, right? We don't live in a world that wants to say, hey, demographically, you need to be over there while the rest of us are over here. What blows Paul's mind, and he explores throughout his writing, is that even this division between the Israelites and the people who follow Jesus is swallowed up in the work of God. You want to be a part of participating in the riches of God that God has willed for us who are believers, who have called on His name, that God, the fullness of the riches that Paul writes about that's promised us. You want to experience those riches? It is not going to be in a car in your driveway. It's not going to be in a bank account. The fullness of the riches of God's wisdom that you have been promised are going to be found in God's people. And everyone is God's people, whether they recognize it or not. You want to be a participant? I want to be a participant. I'm going to find it in the face of my friend and the face of my perceived enemy. When I can learn to see God in the people who irritate me the most, I have a feeling that somewhere God is doing something in me that is going to allow me to see how blessed I am. Let me tell you how much fun that sounds. Not. I get cranky, I just want to go hang out with people who are like me, where it's easy to be around them, or I just want to go back to my place and read my book and have everybody leave me alone and don't call me. Because I get stressed out and that's what I do. I just kind of go back into my shell. But what I keep hearing in the gospel and in the writings of Scripture is that, okay, have some time there, that's fine, but then let's get over ourselves and let's go out And let's find the way that Christ is playing in 10,000 faces. Amen.